Episode 245.
So when I say it was 10 times harder than I thought it would be, most of what held me back was me and just me having to grow and me having to adapt. But I do what I have to do. I always do. I'm extremely persistent. I have never failed at anything that I've set my mind to, and I will do whatever it takes to excel in this industry.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarket professionals, to episode 245 of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast with my guest, multi-shop owner Kate Jonassy. I'm Carm Capriato, and I'm fundamentally changing the behavior of how aftermarket professionals get their information, insights, and inspiration through this powerful digital medium. Glad to have you here. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts, and they are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. Now, when you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. And thanks for your support of these brands. You know, you can find this week's show notes with Kate Jonassy at remarkableresults.biz/E245. Now, since starting the Town Hall Academy, January 2017, we now have an archive built on the website that you'll be extremely impressed with. The quality of these single subject forums is like no other in the aftermarket. Each week, your industry colleagues bring their wisdom and experience to the topic at hand, and it's like a documentary, but you will engage like a seminar. I promise your time will be well spent. Go to remarkableresults.biz/academy. Hey, I love it when you connect with me on Facebook, like new friends Greg Feeney, Chris Carver, and Charles Goodrich, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Fran Carroll and Mandy Concepcion. If you'd like to connect socially, go to remarkableresults.biz/social, and there you can also connect with me via email with an idea for a show or a guest request, or just to say hi. And don't forget my new smartphone app. If you want instant access to every episode, just download the Remarkable Results Radio app on Apple or Android and enjoy a whole new easy way to connect and learn with every episode. Now meet Kate Jonassy. Kate is a graduate from my college alum at Alfred State College in New York. I graduated back in the day with a business degree, and she attended the Automotive Technology Program. You know, it's great to interview a person who has found great success in their career from starting from ground zero, as she says, not knowing anything about vehicle repair, to where she is today. Kate's interview is very sincere and transparent. She tells a great story of her travels throughout the country to make her home in California, and her passion and desire to own her own shop. She arrived in California when the recession hit, and she had a hard time finding work. After a bunch of different jobs, all the time learning along the way, she landed an opportunity to rent a bay in a closed dealership. And that was the start of her career as a shop owner. She found a business coach early in her ownership career, and that helped set her on the right path. She has a giving heart and talks shop efficiency, technician training, EVs, consolidation, and she loved math and science and therefore found transmissions a marvel of science. And she also has some clear and defined future plans. Now listen to Kate Jonassy from K-Tech and Pauline's Automotive in Sebastopol, California. Now, here's the interview. Hey, a warm welcome to Kate Jonassy, multi-shop owner from Sebastopol, California. Hello, Kate.
Hey, Carl.
K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Auto. Two shops from your humble beginnings. Kate and I are alumni from Alfred State College, part of the State University of New York University system. And when I found that out, I knew I had to interview you, Kate.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Obviously, you got your start in automotive technology there. Good school. What are your greatest memories of Automotive Technology College?
I remember when I first started at Alfred State, my very first class, I knew practically nothing about cars, and I didn't know how to put a vehicle on the lift. I didn't really know anything. I was probably the only person in my class that knew virtually nothing about cars. Most of the other students had some automotive experience or had worked in shops before. And I remember my very first class, I was trying to rack up a vehicle and I had put the lift arm under the oil pan. Now, I didn't lift it. I was smart enough to ask, hey, is this the right place to put it? And I remember I asked one of the other students and he was giving me this look like, what are you doing here? The fact that I would consider putting a lift arm under the oil pan, because as you know, that would crush the oil pan. But I remember that and then compare that to 2 years later where I was excelling in school, excelling in the diagnostics, and the same guys that were looking at me like I was an idiot for not knowing how to rack a vehicle my first semester were now coming to me for diagnostic advice. I owe a lot of what I am in the industry today to a teacher and mentor, Mike Ronan. He's the automatic transmissions instructor there. He was very inspiring, cares a lot about his students, and told these great stories about what it was like to work on cars in the 70s in California and how there was no rust and everybody had money to get the cars fixed and how cool and fun it was. And that was very, very inspiring. He may be the reason that I stayed in the industry because he helped paint a picture of the fact that it wasn't just grease monkey work. It was that I could be the best, or that any of his students could be the best. And just the concept of that let me see the automotive industry in a light that I hadn't seen it in before. By the time I got through the two-year program there, I could see myself as a master diagnostician. And it was more than just fixing cars. His influence may very well be the reason that I continue to stay in the automotive industry.
A great shout out to Mike Ronan. Great guy. I know Mike. Now, when he was telling you about that California thing, was that always something in the back of your mind that got you from, you know, upstate New York out to California?
Well, that's exactly what got me out to California. I grew up mostly in upstate New York, and I had, after the two-year program, I had a job offer to go work with Mercedes in Atlanta. So right after I got out of school, I went to Atlanta. But in the back of my mind, there was always the fact that I wanted to live in California. If I could live anywhere, I wanted to live in San Francisco. It just sounded like so much fun. So that was always in the back of my mind since his stories that I would be living in California. So after tech school, I went to go work for Mercedes in Atlanta. I was there for a little over a year. I got some very good training. It was a very high quality dealership. They had a whole apprenticeship program that I learned. So I learned so much about Mercedes. Master technicians there teaching me stuff. And after that, I just decided, hey, you know what? I've got a little bit of experience under my belt now. If I can live anywhere, I want to go live in San Francisco. So that's what I did. I packed up my toolbox and I packed up my tools and my stuff and everything I had. Basically, I just drove out to San Francisco. I didn't have a job lined up, although Mercedes had offered me one. I declined it. I just wanted to go out there and see what I could do. So interestingly enough, I showed up right when the recession was hitting. And every shop that I went into was telling me, hey, I'd love to hire you, but I just laid off three technicians. So I'm not hiring right now. But I persisted and I always found work. What I really wanted to do was to build automatic transmissions. The things that I liked about the automatic transmissions was that they had so many different aspects of science in them. I've always liked math and science. Those are my favorite subjects in school. I've been good at them. Like you have hydraulics, you have electricity, you have mechanics, all of it in one unit. And I just find them to be very, very elegant and very cool parts of the car. So that's, and also Mike Ronan's influence led me to want to build automatic transmissions. Anyway, I moved out to San Francisco and I went into one particular transmission shop and I had to go in there three times. And I said, look, I don't care what you pay me. I just want to be here and I just want to learn. So I ended up working at a transmission shop for minimum wage for as long as I could endure that environment. It was not exactly a clean shop nor a friendly one, but I went in there and I got a little bit of experience. From there, I moved to a European car shop, also in San Francisco. I got some excellent European car experience there at that shop. And I had always been the kind of technician that would, I job hopped a lot. Now, granted, I did a very good job and I moved up in every shop that I was in, but I was restless and I wanted more and I wanted to learn more. And so I would stay at a shop for generally a year and a half before I would get bored and want to learn something more than I felt they could teach me.
And that's just how you're made up. That's how you are.
I was hungry for knowledge, and I still am. Granted, as an owner now, my priorities have shifted and my viewpoint has shifted. But as a technician, I was very, very hungry for experience. I wanted to be the best. I was willing to do what it takes. I would sacrifice any time off. Didn't matter to me. If the job was there, I would do the work. I wanted to learn any training that was offered to me. I would jump on. I would take any training that was offered to me. I was ASC Master Certified before I got out of tech school. Now, that didn't mean I could fix cars very well out of tech school. I was still very green, but I was motivated and took the test and got ASC Master Certified coming out of tech school. And then in San Francisco, I got my smog license. I worked at a test only for a little while doing smog tests. Then I went to go work for a smog test and repair station, and I was their smog diagnostician. And I learned a tremendous amount there doing the smogs. And I learned a little bit about politics too, and how the state handles things and how the state wants us to do the smogs and wants us to do the testing. There are very, very particular ways that they want things done. I was in San Francisco for 2 years. I lived there for 2 years and I really liked it. I liked the environment. I liked the people. I liked the diversity. But I did not like having my car stolen repeatedly. And I was ready to move out of a situation where I had roommates. I wanted life to be a little bit easier. So I ended up migrating north. I moved to Petaluma for a while. And I worked at an independent repair shop, a woman-owned repair shop in Petaluma. I ended up getting into opening up my own shop because I reached a point in my career where I just wanted more. It was sort of like a quarter-life crisis kind of thing where I wanted a change and I didn't know what it was. I didn't feel like I was ready to go and open my own business. It just seemed like such an ordeal to do that.
Yeah, but think about the resume that you've been building and the things you've been learning. Besides the the mechanical side, you've probably been observing businesses and finding out what you liked worked and what didn't work. And you say, I could take some of these ideas and do this on my own. Was that a driving force?
Well, absolutely. I've always been very responsible. Even as a kid, I would always take care of my own things. I would make my own lunches. I would do my own laundry. I would just always take care of my own stuff. So it was kind of the same thing with running a business. I just wanted to do it on my own. I didn't know where to start. So what I ended up doing was telling my boss at the time, I need to take some time off and take some classes. So I'm going to take a semester off and I'm going to go take some classes at the local college and just take some time. I just have to do this. That's what I told her. And she said, all right, well, we're going to miss you while you're gone. I hope you come back, but go ahead and do what you have to do. I understand. So in the course of taking the classes at the Santa Rosa Junior College, I met somebody who, one of the instructors for the electric car class, his name is Peter Oliver. And he watched me work on cars. He saw that I knew what I was doing, obviously, because I had been a professional mechanic for about 10 years. And he asked me if I wanted to rent out some space in the old Ford dealership in Sebastopol. There, the building had been vacant for 2 years, and he wanted to bring in electric cars and electric bikes. And so he had several different businesses that he was going to bring in there, like a little business incubator type thing. And he was going to have us all in there, all working together and sharing the rent and sharing the space. That's how I ended up starting my first business, was by renting out a space in the old Ford dealership here in Sebastopol and working alongside the other businesses there, the electric cars and the electric bikes.
How many bays?
Well, let's see. The whole dealership had 10 or 12 bays.
What was your area?
One bay.
One bay, okay.
Yeah, one bay. My overhead was extremely low, and I already had all of my tools. All I had to do was buy a scan tool. So I bought a Genesis, OTC Genesis scan tool. And then I had basically everything that I needed just to get started.
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus On The Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified gurus on call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards loyalty program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguruz.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. So how'd you bring in business? What'd you do to promote yourself?
I put an ad on Craigslist, just a free posting. I offered woman mechanic services. I mean, as far as being a woman, I don't think it should matter. A good tech is a good tech. But I know that people like that. And there are a lot of people out there that they like dealing with a woman, especially other women. They feel more comfortable. So I went back and forth and thinking, hey, should I even put this in the ad that it's a woman-owned business? But I decided to go ahead and do it because people like it. That's how I started. And then through word of mouth, too. And in the beginning, it didn't take very many customers to help me make enough money to keep the business going and put a little in my pocket because my overhead was so low. It was just one bay I was renting out. And after about 9 months, I was busy enough and I hired a friend of mine. He was a Porsche technician. I hired him to come and work with me as the tech. And then I shifted into running the front office. I would still be in the back and help him with things, but my primary job was then shifted into the office and running the business. I ended up hiring a service writer after that and then another technician. And
well, while you only had one bay?
Yeah. We expanded. By then, we may have expanded into two bays.
So you had the opportunity to seize another bay or two. And did you kind of outgrow that?
We were making do with the space that we had, but what I ended up doing was we were kind of busting at the seams. The building was being sold. So in order to continue doing business, I needed to relocate my business. So it was a matter of size. It was also a matter of sharing space. And there are certainly benefits to sharing space, but there are also downsides to it. So the bottom line is we were ready to go and branch out on our own. So I ended up being very fortunate in the place that I found. In here in Sebastopol, there are not that many locations that will allow you to do auto repair, but there was a property that was up for sale that had an auto repair shop building there for 40 plus years. And it came up for sale right at the time when I needed to move my business. It actually worked out extremely well. I got the bid in and got the property secured days before somebody was coming in offering $50,000 more for the property. So my timing was impeccable with that. And then I got an SBA loan to purchase the property. And then for the down payment, I had a customer of mine who valued what we do. She believed in me, and she provided me with a loan for the down payment to buy the property. So it was just a series of perfect things happening that allowed me to be able to get into the shop. I just remember after I bought it, just standing in the driveway, like as right after we had moved in, and just feeling like, hey, this is as good as it gets. This is perfect. This is like my ideal life. Just like looking around the driveway and just feeling like I had made it because it was such a big deal.
At that time, Kate, were there any regrets along the way?
Nope, none. No, because all of our experiences, even our challenges or our setbacks, they're just opportunities for great leaps forward. So I certainly had my challenges, but definitely no regrets about anything.
So you listened. You listened to many people along the way. You decided to move out and get more working on your business than in it. Did you ever then decide, well, listen, I think I'm going to need to go out and find a coaching group or a mentoring group or a 20 group to help you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, unfortunately, I got into getting consulting and training for being a shop owner very early. It was probably, I'd been in business for about a year, and then I got a flyer from a company called Management Success, and they hit the nail on the head with the message they were sending me. It was something like, are you working hard, really hard, and you want your life to be easier, or something like that. It was a button that just struck me as a business owner. And so I went to one of their seminars, and the concepts that I heard in the seminars, like work on your business, not in it, stuff like that. And also the presenter was talking, it just really resonated with me because they are specialized for the automotive repair shop owner, and they know what we go through and the challenges that we face. So anyway, I ended up signing on with Management Success and doing a bunch of their shop owner training. And most of what I know about being a good shop owner comes from the training that I have done and do with them. And I think that I'm very fortunate that I signed on with them that early on in the beginning, because I did not have a lot of bad habits to correct. And I was very hungry for knowledge because I want, just like when I was a technician, I wanted to be the best. And I still do.
I love what you said. I didn't have any bad habits to correct too early on in your career as a businesswoman. Hey, tell us your best customer service story.
My biggest success, I would say, is having people who are truly customer service oriented, but also know how to take care of the business at the same time without giving everything away. My current manager at my first location is just outstanding with customers and with employees, and she knows how to keep everybody happy and hit the bottom line. So as far as customer service goes, that is the thing that comes to mind that I'm the most happy about.
Good. I hear you just said the word bottom line. Are you a numbers person?
Yes, absolutely. I am. I am a numbers person. I'm also a people person. I've had to shift into that, but I do definitely, I manage by statistics.
What's the number that you strive to take a look at each and every day to get a good barometer of the business?
I don't think there's necessarily one number, but we look at sales and we look at GP. Those are two of the most important numbers that we look at. If I'm talking about marketing, then I will look at car count. And if the car count increases, I know we're doing a good job at marketing. For example, the first half of this year, we've had a 10% increase in car count, which is a good thing to see.
Did it equate to the right sales number?
Yeah, I think the sales could actually improve a little bit more than they did. I didn't exactly see a 10% increase in sales, but we have developed a lot of more and more happy customers and improving our customer base and retention. And a lot of it has to do with my staff being the excellent people that they are and being customer service oriented.
You said marketing. You're using Facebook at all?
Absolutely. Facebook is, I see it more as a PR thing than a marketing thing. So I don't see Facebook as something that is designed to drive work into the shop. I typically do not offer any specials or coupons on Facebook, but we use it as a way to show people who we are and to get customers to be more acquainted with us before they show up in the shop or even after. Like I'll post pictures of my staff. And I'll say, hey, meet the staff member of the week. This is what they like to do in their spare time. This is how they care about the job that they do. I post things that are human. I post human things on Facebook so that people can get more familiar with us.
Sounds just like the advice that we continue to hear on the podcast. Kate, what's one thing right now that's got you fired up?
Training my staff. The technical aspect of training. My office is flowing very smoothly right now at both locations. It's allowed me to refocus and take some time to look at getting back to my roots of being a technician. What I'm really excited about is I want all of my technicians to have an eye to the future. By that, I mean, observe how the industry is changing and be excited about growing with it. What I do is I work to show them things that they wouldn't normally see about where the industry is going. I encourage them to all get their ASC master certifications and to get their SMOG licenses and brake and lamp licenses. Not all technicians are really excited about it as I am. Some of them require a little bit more work to get them excited about it.
When you hire a new tech, do you sit down and say, listen, we're gonna require you to get 40 hours of training to keep you current? As often, I heard someone say the other day to me in an interview, you could be an A tech today in 2 years. If you don't keep up, you could be a B minus. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that statement. Yeah. The technicians, we as technicians have to adapt with the industry because gasoline engines are being phased out. Electric cars are stepping up. Hydrogen fuel cells are happening. I think we're going to continue to have hybrids for a while, and those do have gasoline engines in them. They're versatile vehicles. You don't have to wait 4 to 8 hours for them to charge up. You can just go fill them up at the gas station. But absolutely, if technicians do not stay ahead of the game, they will eventually be phased out. That's what I've been teaching them over the past few months as I've shifted into this role of being trainer and being inspirer for the future is I'm showing these guys, hey, you're going to be behind in 10 years, 5 to 10 years, if you don't do more training. And they're stepping up. You know, the more I show them and inspire them, the more they step up. My style is not so much authoritarian. Like I don't want to just tell them to do it because I say so. It's ideally, I want them to want to do it. I want to inspire them from the inside out to get them excited about it. I want them to see the same things that I see about the industry. And slowly they're coming around.
Where are you going to get the training for them?
For training for technicians, we have the local vendors. We have training, like our local parts stores. We have Napa, O'Reilly, Smothers, Worldpac. They all provide technical training that I send my staff to. And we also do some training in-house. We're working up to do more, but we have weekly meetings. So I buy lunch every Tuesday, and the whole staff sits down, and we talk about things that have gone well over the week. We talk about things we like to improve on. We talk about upcoming events, and we do a little bit of training. For example, I have one young technician who wants to get his SMOG license. Well, to do that, he is going to have to study. And so I've been working to help him study. And what we'll even do sometimes in the training is we'll talk about SMOG-related things. Hey, what can cause high CO? Hey, what can cause high NOx? So to kind of get the juices flowing and provide supplemental training to help these guys be able to pass the tests. Because some people can be very good technicians, but they're not necessarily good test takers, and also vice versa. And I'm just trying to help my technicians who are not good test takers to be able to get through the tests so they can get certified.
What you were just saying a few minutes ago about the changing evolution of what's going to be under the hood. What's your opinion of Volvo announcing that they're going to stop installing only internal combustion engines by 2019? What do you think of that?
I fully support it. I think it's indicative of how the industry is changing right now in front of our eyes. And I think we're going to have to stay on top of it. Technicians are going to have to learn about electricity. They're going to have to learn how high voltage works and be able to work on different types of hybrids that have different voltages and they have different setups. A lot of technicians that are very good at other aspects of the car do not fully understand electricity. We're going to have to adapt to that. California, it was a few years back, they put out, I believe it was 10 hydrogen refueling stations. There we could see even more hybrid, we could see more fuel cell vehicles coming out. It's just alternative fuels and alternative sources of energy are happening. So we have to be smarter than ever. You know, there people say that with technicians, you like a doctor only works on two models and technicians have to work on, you know, dozens of models. Well, we're going to have to be even smarter than ever now to adapt and to be able to work on these cars. I don't think anybody can predict with certainty what's going to happen to the future of the automotive industry, but it's definitely something that I think about on a regular basis is how are we going to adapt to this? We're also seeing consolidation. Bigger shops and chains are coming in and buying up the smaller independent shops. That's a reality. That's happening. So the industry is definitely in for some major changes in the next 10, 20 to 30 years. Nobody can predict with certainty what's going to happen, but I suspect we'll have hybrids for quite a while because of the ease of fueling them up and without having to wait for an electric vehicle to charge. I think electric vehicles are definitely becoming more abundant, but the charging time needs to come down, I think, before everybody will buy into them. And maybe we'll have that technology in 10 or 20 years.
I don't doubt it. Have you ever seen the Toyota hydrogen car in your area yet?
Yeah, we haven't worked on any here in my town.
Just curious. Hey, you're a multi-shop owner. How did Pauline's Auto happen for you?
About 2.5 years ago, a local shop, it used to be called Paul's Automotive, it was coming up for sale. A colleague of mine and I decided that we would take it over together and combine our skills. There are some things that I was extremely good at, and I still am, setting up systems, like setting up the office for efficiency. I'm very big on efficiency and not having to walk across the room to get something if you can have it right next to you, setting up the computer system, all that stuff. And there are other aspects that he excelled at. He excelled at setting up the shop and at many of the technical aspects of working on cars. And so anyway, we decided to combine forces. And so we purchased the shop and we ran it together as a partnership for about a year. And the idea was ultimately that I would take over the shop after approximately 3 years of us working together. But as it turns out, I ended up buying him out after about a year. And so now I own the two shops. They're both in Sebastopol. They're about a mile and a half apart. They have different clientele and a different client base. Paul's Automotive had a lot of customers that were like do-it-yourselfers or people that may wanted to do just the bare minimum to fix their car. It's a different type of clientele. They also get a lot of drive-by traffic because they're on the main road. And my other location, K-Tech, is off the beaten path. It's actually in a residential area. And so you'd have to know where you were going before you would see it. Whereas Pauline's, everyone who commutes to and from Sebastopol and Santa Rosa will drive past the store. So we get more clients from Santa Rosa, Pauline's location, because of all that drive-by traffic.
Is the model still the same, or did you change it to more of what K-Tech's clients are?
I am now changing it to more of what K-Tech's clients are. We're doing that successfully. Originally, when I had the business partner, we were trying a different business model. We were saying, okay, well, K-Tech is going for customers that are willing to pay more for the conveniences that we have to offer. For example, we have free courtesy cars. We have a 2-year nationwide warranty, stuff like that. So there are people who are willing to pay more to get that extra quality. So at Pauline's, we were trying to go originally for a different market. We would still perform quality work, but we didn't have courtesy cars in the beginning, and we just had a 1-year warranty. So we had a little bit of a different pricing schedule. We had lower pricing there because the overhead was lower. But now that I have fully taken over both of the shops, for streamlining purposes, we're making them the same. We're making them function the same. So we have the same 2-year warranty at both locations. I'm building up the courtesy car base at Pauline's. So we've got courtesy cars there now too. And I'm just working on running them as close to the same way as possible.
Have you had to fire some customers?
Occasionally. That happens at every shop. But for the most part, at Pauline's, no, we just tell them how we're running the shop. We will work with them as much as possible because we want everyone to be happy. It's a very, very rare occasion that we ever have to fire a customer.
So, Kate, what are your greatest challenges running 2 stores?
I've overcome the biggest challenge that I've had for a while. Currently, I have that one overcome. It was the recruiting and getting good people. I really have exceptional people right now. So my challenges now are getting everybody properly hatted. And what I mean by that is getting everybody to understand fully what their job descriptions are and implementing policy that is going to allow us to be efficient and achieve our shop goals and align with our shop mission statement. It's going well. It's smooth. I have people that are extremely willing and they want to do a great job and they're stepping up to the game. And I'm extremely proud of them. Over the past year, Pauline's had 5 managers in the past year because it took me quite a bit to find the right person. And there was somebody that I held on to longer than I should have. We've all done it. Right now, I have 2 excellent managers at both shops, and it's just such a nice feeling. The next step that we have is I'm going to have my manager, Monica. She's the manager at K-Tech. She wants to step up into a GM role. She wants to become the general manager over both shops. And she's got the ability to do this. We're working on training for her so that she can step into that role. So I'll need to get a backup salesperson for K-Tech. And it'll be probably a 6 to 12 month process. But that's okay. There's no need to rush it. I want to make sure that she has a full grasp over what the job entails and that she's fully on board. And she's long-term no matter what. So I'm perfectly fine taking the 6 to 12 months that it takes to get her fully hatted in that. Because what that means is if she's being the GM so that I'm not doing it, then I have more free time. And that's what I want.
What kind of training will she get? Are you going to send her to some courses, going to get her to read some books, send her for leadership skills training? What do you think is the right formula for her to become a GM?
Yeah, all of the above. So she's doing some training in August. She's going to Management Success to do a training there on how to get things done. It's sort of like being more of an executive. I do in-house training where she and I talk a lot. We have a great relationship and a great rapport. So if something just comes up, we just talk about it and get it solved.
Just-in-time coaching, right?
Right. I teach her stuff like that. I've encouraged her to read books too, like management books. Just the other day, we were talking about reading The 1-Minute Manager.
Required reading. I love what you said. It gives me more time. Does that more time mean put the vision cap on, third store?
More time to me right now means giving me more time to think. So you can, like I said earlier, this is a common business phrase, but you work on your business, not in it. Well, right now I'm being the GM, and that's okay. I like this position, but if I want to open more stores, then I will need a general manager to run my 2 locations. I'm not in a big rush for that. I'm perfectly happy with the 2 right now because running 2 shops is probably 10 times harder than I originally thought it would be.
You've just said confession, yes.
Yeah, but it's been good. The businesses to me are a way for me to better myself, and I learn and grow in the process of running the businesses. So a lot of the challenges that we've had are challenges that I have had and faced personally. How do I become a better owner? How do I become better with people? Because when I started running my business, I had been a technician for 10 years, and I was the kind of technician that I just wanted everyone to leave me alone. I wanted to work on the car.
I've heard a few business coaches say technicians love to talk to cars, not people.
That fit me to a T. So when I became a business owner, it was a difficult transition for me to go from being a technician to being more of a people person. And I wouldn't necessarily, I'm not going to call myself a people person now, I'm not, but I have much better skill and understanding and compassion where it's required for dealing with my people. I'm a better owner now. So when I say it was 10 times harder than I thought it would be, most of what held me back was me and just me having to grow and me having to adapt. But I do what I have to do. I always do. I'm extremely persistent. I have never failed at anything that I've set my mind to, and I will do whatever it takes to excel in this industry.
Wow, years of success ahead of you. I just can't imagine. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
The most important thing in the beginning when I was just starting out is work on your business, not at it. That's an extremely simple, basic business concept. I know that now, but it's surprising.
Yeah, the E-Myth from Michael Gerber. Oh, yeah. Long live the E-Myth.
Living that means that I set up my shops and I set up the businesses and I set up my people to do things without me being there. So I use that concept every single day that I'm doing business. And everything that I do in the businesses as far as setting policies, interacting with staff, it's along the lines of achieving that and doing that. Oh, another thing that stands out is somebody told me once to smile more. I had a friend of mine, this was years ago, and she said, you know, Kate, you're a really smart person. You're a really wonderful person. You're a really caring person. You're a really good business owner, but people can't always see that. So you should smile more. That was really good advice. Whenever I go up and I interact with my staff and I just, you know, I mean, they make me happy anyway. So it's not like it's hard. I don't have to force myself to smile anymore, but that was something that made a big difference in my life. And it's extremely simple.
Well, you do have a great smile, Kate. I've so enjoyed this. You've been so forthcoming, so honest. I want to thank Kate Jonassy from K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Auto in Sebastopol, California. Now, before we leave, Kate, any great words to live by that you'd love to share?
Well, there's something that I want to share that has come up recently. And it's really important to me. It's very, very heartwarming to me. And it means a lot to the business and growing the business is investing in your people. And there are many ways to invest in your people. Something happened yesterday where my manager came up to me and she was just extremely grateful. She said that I had helped her to understand what a credit score is and how that could help her life. Trying to help her with her to have a good financial future. So she thanked me again for how a few months ago I showed her how she could improve her credit score so that she could ultimately buy a house. Then yesterday she tells me again about how she set up a savings account because of my influence, because I guided her to do that. Simple things. They're simple to me and to a lot of business owners. We do them every day, but we forget that not everyone has had the same experience or the same guidance to know something as simple as setting up a savings account. I get so much joy and pleasure that her life is improving because of just some simple words of wisdom that I gave her. And I told her those things because I care about her. And for example, I'm encouraging her to quit smoking as well. She's a smoker. And I care a lot about the health of my employees. So what I do is I've been bringing in the things that I know are known successful actions, like quitting smoking, having a savings account, stuff like that, that just extremely simple things that I can help them with that will make their lives better. Yes, of course, it relates back to the business. If my employees are better and their lives are better, then that helps my business substantially. But anyway, just investing in people on that level is something that I have good success with, and I encourage anybody out there to take the care to care about your employees and see how you can help them, in particular with our financial future, and not just giving them a raise, but giving them some basic sound financial advice, stuff like that.
You're giving heart and love. And, you know, every time I mention love in front of a bunch of business people, they say, oh, Carm, don't get smooshy on me. But really, love is an action verb, and it's caring for people. And that's just what I heard.
Well, yeah, and people like to work for me. That wasn't always the case. I had to learn how to become somebody that people want to work for. And I'm extremely proud that I have stepped into that role. And I'm extremely proud of all of my staff who work for me. And I want to keep up a good thing.
Well, just great to be able to interview an Alfred State College alumni. Wow. How cool is that? Who went from Syracuse, Rochester, to Alfred, to Atlanta, out to California. What a great career. Much luck to your business. Continued success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kate Jonassy, for paying it forward and sharing your business insights and remarkable results. For more info on Kate, go to the episode's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E245. And thank you for joining us. Any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, listen, I'm a person who links people that need and want knowledge in a way that's easy to digest in their day-to-day life. And that's why you're here. Share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's a lot to go around. It's easy. Email the episode link. Share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or LinkedIn connections. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. I'm grateful and thankful for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.